welcome everybody to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study. I'm glad to see everybody joining us, and also the women I have with me. I have Megan over there, and my neighbor in Vermont.
Hello.
And I have Ann and Karen, neighbors in Texas.
Hello, everybody.
Good evening, everybody.
So it's nice to have everybody back up. And well, for those, and I'm assuming everybody knows, we're going through a Walking in the Spirit seminar that is on the TFM website, the Fisherman Ministry website. And last week we began it. It's in six parts, the first one being baptism in the Holy Spirit, opening the door to walking in the Spirit. And we just started with looking at the first group of scriptures that are given in this. So tonight we're going to look at little, like, subtopics. So I guess without further ado, unless any of you have something that you'd like to say, looking back or looking forward or just looking.
No.
Okay. And we can go, Karen, between you and Megan again. So, Karen, if you would start, you can read the heading, and then we'll go to the scripture. We're on the Holy Spirit baptism is not always given at conversion.
So the Holy Spirit baptism is not always given at conversion, but sometimes after, because the believer does not always understand what he is to receive. And it'll be Acts 19, 1 through 7.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12.
Okay. So this follows 18, where we hear about Apollos, who was a believer. But he likewise did not know anything but John's baptism, and these were his disciples, so he had ministered to them what he knew. And in chapter 18, if you go back and read, you'll see that Aquila and Priscilla actually, when they met him and heard his doctrine, actually showed, it says in verse 26, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So then you move into chapter 19, and Paul now comes across believers who had come to know the salvation of the gospel salvation, the salvation by Jesus, but they only knew John's baptism because that is what they'd been taught by Apollos. And here we see where Paul then, you know, he right off asks them, Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? And they answer honestly, we haven't even heard of it, you know. So then he asks, well, what have you been baptized? What is your baptism? And they said they were baptized under John's baptism. And then Paul follows up really giving the testimony John gave, which was John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So John's baptism was a baptism of preparation, of turning the people unto the Lord, but John the Baptist came to identify Christ, turn the people, and then identify him. Now, you know, after the cross, there is a new baptism, and it's the baptism of blood, the baptism of water, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you see Paul minister unto them receive, because you see there it says, in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So here you have, as it said, you know, people don't always get the baptism at conversion because they don't understand what they're to receive. And here's an example. One thing that I think is, it's beautiful here, but is less, it seems less evident, is these people heard when the way was more perfectly expounded unto them. And that's a praise the Lord, but you also see Paul being forward to, make sure that they had that baptism or to find out if they did and they received it. So I don't know if you all have anything you would like to add on that one.
No, nothing.
Okay. Megan, would you read the next one, please?
Yes. Acts 1, 4 and 5.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost was promised by Jesus to all who believed on him, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Amen. And we know, we read Acts 2 last week, that the Holy Ghost was given to all believers. It wasn't specific just for the 11 who had been with Jesus as his disciples for those 3 years, but it, we know historically through the Word of God and through our own experience that that promise was for all who would believe.
Amen.
So, Karen?
The Holy Ghost gives the believer power. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Okay. So that, you know, it really gives you there the purpose, one of the purposes, not the purpose. And we'll see some of the other things the Holy Ghost does, but it is that power that they were endued with, which when we did read chapter 2 last week, you saw the effect of the Holy Spirit and it speaking and bringing, that witness and that testimony. Not only we know from Peter personally as far as his testimony, but also the Holy Spirit quickened to him scriptures in the Old Testament and how they testified of Christ. And he brought that gospel and he brought it to a people led of the Spirit in the exact manner that the Spirit led him to bring it to. And there were, I think it says, like 3,000. So we see that this came to pass. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And it came to pass exactly that. And that is, we see it multiple times. We saw it with Stephen, where the Holy Spirit brought forth a mighty testimony. Bore a mighty witness and brought forth things from the Old Testament that were revelations that came through the Holy Spirit. So there you see the Holy Ghost gives the believer power.
Yeah, that was amazing, especially Stephen's speech and actually Peter as well, the transformation that occurred when they received the Holy Ghost was quite amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, with Peter, you see it. With Stephen, it's there because, you know, you read what he said and everything, and it's very powerful.
Well, and you figure it is, and you see when Jesus told him, take no thought for what you will say because it'll be given unto you in that day, in that hour. And you see this taking place, and it's given to them through the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said was true. They bore witness to it personally and in the fulfillment of it, even as we are to do. So the next one under that, the Holy Ghost gives the believer power, is John 14:12. Karen?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now that is, if we break it down, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That's an absolute statement of fact.
And what were the works of Jesus? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He performed miracles.
Yeah.
And he says we will be able to do those at far greater works than these, can we? Because we believe that we'll be able to do.
And that's in perfect agreement with Mark 16, which let me just read. And they're important for us to hear because they're a standard by which we can look and see where we are. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye on into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Those signs shall follow them that believe. And we see these signs in the book of Acts following believers. Stephen, we've spoken about. Peter, we have mentioned. We see it in Paul. We see it in others. Philip.
One thing that it says greater works in these shall we'll be able to do. I can't talk today. Jesus, when he healed someone or delivered someone, he touched them. They had to touch him. We'll see in Acts that Peter, when he walked down the road, when his shadow touched someone, they were healed. We'll see with Paul, he sent out handkerchiefs that he blessed, and they went out, and whoever received those were healed. So they didn't have to physically touch someone like Jesus did. So that is greater works than Jesus. And so there's two examples right there.
Thank you for bringing that out, Anne. So the Holy Ghost gives the believer power. The next one, Megan?
The Holy Ghost will guide the believer into all truths. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Could you read from 12 to through 15?
Sure. I have yet many things to say unto you, but he cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall shew it unto you.
Amen. So in this particular passage, he's saying, you know, there's things, more things to say unto them, but he cannot yet because they can't bear it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, that's when it's going to be given unto them. That the Holy Spirit is going to show them things to come, that which Jesus, who all things of the Father are his, he's going to, how does he put it here? But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He's going to share the things of the ways and the truths of God with believers. He's going to open it up. He's going to guide them. How does it put it? Into all truth. This is a promise. Another reason or purpose of the Holy Spirit is to guide the individual believer into all truth. And also he will show you things to come. So there you see where then he gives you a heads up. You can go and do likewise to others. Even as we're given a heads up. Even as we're given it to see.
This verse kind of goes back to the first ones we read this evening, where it said the Holy Spirit baptism is not always given at conversion, but sometimes after, because the believer does not always understand what he is to receive. There are things that, you know, you can use the picture that Paul gives of milk versus meat. Repent and be baptized is milk. That's the gospel. That's good and kind of, I want to say simple. I don't mean simple in the, I mean it in the sense of it's there and it's available. But here the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to bring things that they're not ready for yet. They've got to grow a little and they've got to, he's going to bring them though. And when he does, then it will be the right time for them to hear it.
Another thing on that too, in reading Acts, that you'll find that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is received by the laying on of hands of an apostle. We have two examples.
Yes.
The first church in Pentecost, when the scripture, baptism fell on the ground without anybody laying hands on anyone, and then we also see it in Cornelius' household. So God can do it any way he wants to, but throughout the scriptures you find that, especially in the book of Acts, that an apostle had to lay hands on people for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes someone can accept the Lord as their Lord and Savior, and they start seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will send an apostle to them to pray for them.
Well, we see when, and I can't remember exactly where it was, but where John and Peter went up when they heard the people had received Jesus, they went up to do just that, to then lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So you saw them understanding that job that they had to impart it. And they were forward to do that. So when they knew of believers having come to the faith, say through like a Philip or a Stephen, though we don't see anything other than, you know, the testimony where Stephen was stoned, but they then were forward to go and bring that Holy Spirit, because they understood that exactly what you're saying, that by doctrine, the Holy Spirit is received by the laying on of hands. It certainly does not circumvent the Lord from baptizing in the Holy Spirit independent of an apostle. And I think we will get into Cornelius here at some point, the Gentile believer who Peter was there more as a witness that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles also. But one thing, you know, the Holy Ghost will guide the believer into all truths. This is something we should hear and believe. We can't get ourselves there. We can't guide ourselves into all truths. But the Lord has given us his Spirit by which we can believe his word and look unto him and trust him to bring it to pass. Because he said he would. It would. He would. Because we can feel kind of devoid of a lot of things at times. But the word says that that's one of the reasons why he's given us his Spirit. That we might be led and guided into all truth. That's his job. And a job that we want to give him free range to. to accomplish in us. So I don't know who's reading, Karen. I don't remember.
Yes. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth. And John 14:17. Could I start at 16, Robin?
Yes.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Amen. So this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, is exactly what they went, and he told them to stay in Jerusalem until the promise come. This is the promise. And that's what they did. And they understood what he was telling them, because he had already told them that he would send the Comforter, or that he promised, even the Spirit of Truth. He who will lead us into all, guide us into all truth. The world can't receive it because they don't see him, neither know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So they already had the Spirit dwelling with them, but they were going to be filled with it. John 15:26, Karen.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
And that's exactly what we know to be true. We saw it in Acts, where everybody heard those who had been baptized in the Spirit speaking the wonderful works of God. The Holy Spirit brings the testimony and the witness of Jesus Christ, and those who are led by the Spirit then give its testimony out loud, you know. They bring it, but it testifies of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to testify of Jesus and in and through us.
You know, it's I just noticed there, it says, when the Comforter is come, he shall testify of me. And if you think about it, when you need comforting, you also need the testimony of Jesus and of the gospel and of salvation. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. The hope. It gives you hope.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. It lifts you up again, right?
Yes.
It quickens does. The truth. Quickens you in the truth.
Yeah. And it reminds you that what you see and where you are isn't where you have to stay. And it helps you to, you know, re-engage in the battle to believe.
Amen. Well, and one thing you didn't mention in that list of things was how you feel. It
yes.
isn't feeling based, and if we will give heed to it, we also will not be feeling based. I know as a woman, it's easy to be feeling based. I can't speak for a man, but I know it's, you know, we're emotional. We're very familiar with feelings, but
yeah.
The Holy Spirit is our deliverer, you know, if we will give heed to his testimony and remember it, and do it, agree with it. But yes, it is interesting that it's called the Comforter, because he does comfort us, as does the gospel. The gospel is a comfort.
Yes.
And John 16:13 we have read, but we will read it again. And this is under the heading, the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth. That which he brings is the truth.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself,
but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come.
Okay. So there you have, you know, that he is called the Spirit of Truth. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit testifies of him. It all just fits together, doesn't it? So, Megan, the next one?
The Holy Ghost dwelling in believers. John 14:17, which we just read, is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you.
Okay. That's a promise. He shall be in you. The Holy Ghost dwelling in believers. You know, it's interesting to me as we turn to Romans 8:9, that I think a common problem is that we don't believe such things. And yet, he dwells in believers. And we can believe this. We can believe that the Holy Ghost dwells in us. We can believe that even as he moved so mightily through so many, that he's that same Holy Ghost that's right there to do the same in and through us. It's what he's here for. Let's be believers, right?
Amen.
So Romans 8:9, Megan?
Oh, righty-ho.
You have a bunch of scriptures to read this time.
Oh, I'm reading the whole thing? Okay, Romans 8:9. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Yeah. And this, of course, comes after very familiar scripture in Romans 7 down, which goes right into Romans 8, and the end thing, the conclusion, so to speak, of Paul is, but ye are not in the flesh. We're dead to the flesh and alive unto him, but in the Spirit. And that, the baptism, blood, water, and Holy Ghost accomplishes this in us. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So it's important. That's why, as you were pointing out, and the apostles are forward to bring up the baptism of the Holy Spirit to some who may not know, or to others who haven't had an apostle, so they didn't receive it. It's an important thing. I don't know if you guys have anything else to say there.
No, not me.
The next one is 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Yeah.
This is the soapbox for people who think that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it's talking, I think, if we look at it, I think it's actually talking like plural, as in you, the body of Christ, not you, the individual with a fleshly body. I'll check that and make sure. I'll let you know.
Well, we know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. So this is something that's, I would agree with you, Megan. Because we actually dwell by faith in his body, not in our flesh. I mean, we live in our flesh on the earth, but even as it's said in Romans, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
It is a plural.
In 1 Corinthians 3:16?
Yes. Certainly the last one is a plural. That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, plural. So it's talking about you as the body of Christ, not you in your flesh.
Right.
Which, I came from church, and that is what church teaches, is that That's why smoking's a sin, so-called, is because your body, your flesh, they consider to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we know it firstly could never be, and secondly, there is no scripture to prove it.
Yeah. Well, and it is an element of legalism. Works, yes. Righteousness, you know what I mean? And salvation is solely by the blood of the Lamb, by grace. There's nothing in our flesh that we can do that has anything to do with salvation. But in the Spirit, we then walk in that Spirit as His and as He would have us. I mean, we're His body on this earth. He's no longer here. We're here in His stead to minister even as He did. And He gave us everything He had when He was here, by which He did that we can, and says we can do it too. That's why it's given unto us. It's an easy thing to get caught up in the idea that if you do something, somehow that speaks well of you, and if you don't do it, that somehow that speaks poorly of you, in the sense of smoking or the kind of food you eat or don't eat, or, you know, all those kind of fleshly things. And they really aren't, they ain't nothing to God, you know what I mean? They're just how we are. We all have different habits and stuff like that, and most of them really just don't matter. Like, I drink coffee, some people don't. What difference does it make either way, you know what I'm saying?
Davey tells a story about him, a minister who had gone to Germany. And when they sat down to eat, everyone had a beer. And he was horrified. But then he asked for coffee. And they were horrified. They all thought, oh, you're defiling the temple.
It's all somebody's opinion on what's going to defile you.
And I was looking, I know it's in 1 Corinthians, but I don't see it right this minute, but the only thing that can defile the temple of God is fornication.
Yeah.
It's not what you smoke, what you eat, what you wear, or anything like that. It's fornication. It's the only thing that can defile the temple. And when it's talked about the temple of God dwelling, it's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It's not just the individual.
I was trying to find that for you, but...
Yeah, I can't find it for some reason.
Yeah.
But I can't find... Pages keep sticking
together. It might be 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20.
Yeah. I just got to that when you said it.
Do you want to read that, Ann?
Okay. 1 Corinthians 6, starting with 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. And this is talking about the church, the body of Christ.
Yep. So the last one in this one is 1 John 2:27 under the Holy Ghost dwelling in believers.
1 John 2:27. I was having a fight with my mouse. It wasn't moving. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing, because you figure that we are all under and taught under the tutelage, instruction, of the same Spirit. He's leading us all into the same truth. You know what I'm saying? There's no division in that.
And that means we all speak the same thing. We are to speak the same thing, of being of the same Spirit.
Yeah.
You know what's a cool example is back before there was the different services broadcast kind of back-to-back, if you will. I remember there being many times when Steve preached here and Rick preached in South Carolina, or Paul or whoever, maybe Phil, I don't remember, but the message was the same. And even here on Sunday, sitting at our table, listening to the Texas service while we ate lunch, there were songs being sung that Cheryl chose back in the middle of the week, around the same time I chose our songs. Some of them not even in our songbook. And yet we sang the same songs. That's, to me, I get excited about that. That's really cool.
Well, this particular Sunday, and I'm not always with you in that, but you sang a new song in Vermont, and she sang the same new song in Texas.
Yeah.
How could that be? You know what
like
I'm saying?
Like you said, it's
and
the
no,
same
no
spirit.
Conversation between you guys. You didn't even know you each knew that song.
No, I didn't. I did not know that.
And I think she must have, I think you guys chose at least three of the same songs. We don't sing many more than that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Another place, of course, that isn't really that. I was going to talk about the time when the Spirit testified three independent times to Paul, but this is really talking about the fact that, you know, the Spirit's there to teach us, to lead us into all truth, to guide us into all truth, is what we read earlier. And when it says here, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And it's where we come into agreement with him. And remember, I mean, we have his word, the Holy, which is the truth. And the Holy Spirit quickens it. The Holy Spirit enlarges it. The Holy Spirit teaches us it. And when you think about Psalm 119, Megan, you know, in the prayers, you know, teach me thy ways. Well, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is given to do. That's what he's here for, one of the reasons, to do just that.
But you know, Robin and Megan and Karen, that if people were really following Jesus Christ and had the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, people who claim to be Christians, we would not have all the different denominations. There would be one church. There would not be how many ever denominations. It wouldn't be Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of God, Assemblies of God. You know, there wouldn't be all these denominations that teach different things.
Sure.
They would all be teaching the same thing.
There also wouldn't be a bunch of versions of the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah, and even in the Baptist church, there's more than 100 different variations of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know, put that all together, that's an awful lot of different stuff out there.
Well, you know, it makes me think of Ephesians, where God gave us apostles to perfect our faith. And when the church in general kicked out the apostles, whom God gives in every age, because if it's for the perfecting of the saints, and every age has saints, every age needs apostles, when there's no acknowledgement of that, then it's kind of like an anarchy. Everybody believes what they want to believe.
Yeah, they also kicked out the prophets. They kicked out the apostles and prophets, both.
Yeah.
And so the truth isn't in a lot of these churches, because they have kicked out the ones who brought the truth to them.
Yep. Because when you talk, I think, like, the Methodists and the Calvinists, their big separation was over preordained or not preordained. But they didn't know the truth, so they chose different sides of what they could see when in their own understanding, so to speak. The Holy Spirit transcends our understanding, gives us God's understanding.
I believe another was the Church of God and the Church of God of Prophecy. At one time they were one church, and then there was a difference of opinion, and they broke off and started the Church of God of Prophecy. And that, I believe, was two brothers. Couldn't agree on what the scripture said.
Yeah, and it was going after their own understanding. Because the Holy Spirit is never divided.
Amen.
It also goes back to, you know, aside from speaking the same thing, to there not being brotherly love, because everybody's about their own thing, and so they don't go to the standard. They would rather go to something that justifies them and where they are and what they believe.
Amen. God has all the answers. He gives his Holy Spirit, and he also calls upon us to ask if any of you lack wisdom. Well, he's there to give it. That's what he wants to do. You know, that he's the answer, not us, not what we can perceive, not what we think. Let's go to him, find out what he thinks, and then come into agreement with that, notwithstanding how strongly we may have thought we were right, you know what I'm saying? And we can find ourselves in those kind of places. Any of us can find ourselves in those kind of places.
I'm sure we all do.
Yeah.
The right thing is to go back to the Word and see what the Lord has to say.
I know sometimes with Steve, I just tell him things I think so that you know, let the light shine on it. I mean, I think they sound right, but I'd much rather just say them.
Sure.
Couldn't get the mute off. The thing is, when people go to the Word to read it and to find out what the truth is, the Word is simple to understand. You take it as it's written. Believe what's written. You don't need to interpret it. Unfortunately, we come up with our own interpretations, and that's always wrong. And that's what's happened in the church today. Everybody has their own interpretation. But you read the Bible as it's written, and it's very simple to understand. People make it too complicated. And that's where a lot of these churches have gotten off. They have to add their own interpretation to it. And they lose the pure Word of God that way.
You know, Anne, that's one of the beautiful things about being in the body, is it keeps us or delivers us from such things by its very nature. When you're hanging out, like after church or something, as we do in Northfield, you know, you say things, and there's a response to what you say. And that's good, you know. Sometimes you're the responder, sometimes you're the one being responded to, but those are good things that keep us. It's a wonderful thing, you know. That's why fellowship is so important. One of the reasons why fellowship is so important. Also, it just builds us up. You know, you get in amongst believers and you're built up. But, You're right. It is simple, and we can make it complicated. And if we keep it simple, then we're drawn to ask him when there's something that we don't understand, and he's there to show us. Well, we have three more that I think we can fit in this section if we kind of do it, or four more, I guess, kind of quickly. The Holy Ghost is given by Christ. Now, Karen's going to read Matthew 3:11, but we know there are three baptisms and three baptizers. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. God the Father is the one who baptizes in the blood of the Lamb. And the Holy Ghost is the one through that water baptism that translates us into, he's the water baptizer and translates us into Christ's body. Water baptism is where we die to ourselves, our flesh, and now dwell by faith in him. So Matthew 3:11, the Holy Ghost is given by Christ.
Yes, and this is John the Baptist speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Okay. We're just going to kind of go down through these. These are ones we're familiar with. And did you guys have anything you wanted to say about that?
Well, the fire comes from the word that means power. So he will baptize us in the Holy Ghost with power.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we see in Acts. And we see it in this day, too. But, you know, thinking in the sense of the Bible, that's exactly what you saw. The Holy Spirit, the baptism, they went forward in that power.
And you also see Jesus saying, I will send the Comforter.
Yes. There you go, Megan. Very true. Would you read the next one?
Sure. Luke 11:13. If he then, being evil, wait, the Holy Ghost is given in answer to prayer.
Thank
if
you.
If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
That's a beautiful promise, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And that is obviously a good gift because he puts it in the context of that. If you being evil give good gifts unto your children, how much more your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Ghost, Spirit, to them that ask. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Karen?
The next one is Luke 24:49. The Holy Ghost is given by waiting on the Lord. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Yep. And so they did just that, and they were.
Yes, amen.
And that's what we saw in Acts 2, if somebody doesn't happen to know. Megan?
Yes, ma'am. The last one?
Yes, please.
The Holy Ghost is the cleansing agent of God. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
You know, when you think about that idea that he is the cleansing agent of God, well, if he came to guide us into all truth, that means he's guiding us out of all untruth. Which, and that process cleanses us. That's the end of that section. Do you guys have anything to say before we say goodnight?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything in this section we needed to.
Well, goodnight all, and thank you for joining us. Next week it's believers in the early church, so we'll see how it looked back then.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.